Hi, Stephanie. Today, I wanted to talk a little bit about the HFS and ICG relationships and our partnership as we address the Saudi Arabia and Middle East markets. I think probably the best way to start with is if you could tell me a little about the services the firm, your firm provides, and how our teams expect to collaborate.
Great. Thank you, Tony, for the introduction. First of all, I'm Stephanie Ayoub. I'm the Chief Growth Officer at ICG. And at Innovation Consulting Group, we are a Saudi consulting firm that would enable the transformational growth for enterprises, whether they have just started their digital transformation journey or they are aiming to accelerate their existing efforts. So we do specialize in enterprise agile transformation and digital innovation and in capability building. So our partnerships would span both public and private sector. So where we could help the clients launch new ventures, modernize their systems, and even deliver tailored and innovative driven solutions that are all aligned with the Vision 2030 of Saudi Arabia. So basically, I can say that our role is to connect strategy with execution, driving sustainable impact by or through technology, through agility, and definitely through forward-thinking approaches.
Yeah, when you combine our big picture thinking, our industry experience with your on-the-ground veteran consultants, it really does make a powerful combination because we'll be able to design and then build together. We'll be able to rethink procurement models, and we'll be able to renegotiate contracts together and identifying vendor risk. There's just a lot of opportunities for the two of us, two of our organizations to focus in on. As we go into the MENA region, why do you think that region is so meaningful right now for investment?
So first of all, as you've already mentioned about this collaboration, so the role of this partnership, this is where ICG would be bringing the knowing and the doing. So our HFS would be bridging this relationship between knowing and doing. And why this partnership is important for the MENA, or MENA is a meaningful region for such an investment. As you know, currently, the MENA region is going through major transformation at the moment. So we're talking about digital change being the top priority. And countries like the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, through the Vision 2030, they are really pushing hard to modernize and to innovate. So at the same time, we are talking about a tech-savvy population where they need more and more modern solutions. So this would make it a perfect space for emerging technologies. If I want to tackle the governmental sector as well, what is most exciting nowadays is that the government and the private companies, they are working hand in hand to create this real momentum for large-scale transformation. So this is really a very good landscape for international companies to really enter the region, to invest, to open new offices, and even to partner with local players. So this is a clear sign that MENA is no longer just an emerging market. It's more of a fast-growing and high-potential region.
Yeah, when you combine the sovereign wealth funds dumping trillions of dollars into investments, then you also look at a lot of foreign investment in terms of building data centers or service centers in the region to support the data sovereignty rules. It's just a very fast-growing, high-investment area. It makes it ideal for a combination of companies like ourselves. What has been your experience with the enterprise leaders in the region? What do you think they're looking for that's maybe unique to that region?
Okay, so it's not like what is unique to the region, but mostly what are the needs of these enterprises in the MENA region. So there are a few main challenges we see nowadays. So first of all, you can see there's a shortage of skilled people in digital and new tech fields. So and we are talking about an old way of thinking and a siloed departments who are always slowing down change. Whenever I'm talking about procurement as well, the procurement processes, especially in the government, they can be very slow, they can be very complicated. So we are trying to put some limitations to such chaotic actions by limiting the flexibility and innovation. So here our collaboration would address these challenges, where we would be providing a research-backed vendor and technology evaluation to help them really in making smarter choices. As you know, Tony, we support in redesigning operation models to build more agility. And we also deliver capability building programs that would localize the knowledge and would reduce the reliance on external vendors. And this is where HFS research would excel in. And most importantly, through our collaboration, we will focus more on an outcome-based transformation, making sure that it's about real business impact. It's not only about technology deployment or just talking about these hot topics. No, making it more actionable.
It's from my intelligence in talking with enterprises and government sector organizations, there's a lot of questions about how to modernize legacy infrastructure with minimizing investments in foreign technologies at time. There's a big question about where are the vendors with the execution strength to be able to pull off what they need to achieve, which is large-scale digital transformations, just like you were saying. Building resilient AI-led operating models. They're just leapfrogging past what a lot of organizations and the rest of the world are doing to quickly accelerate and become a leader in their own right. And then, like you said, the talent gap is present in the region for right now anyways. I'm sure that won't be there forever, but right now there is a talent and expertise gap, though there are quite a few players or locations in the region to provide that type of talent. The verticalized use cases for AI automation and cloud technologies just abound in the area. It's a wonderful set of challenges enterprise leaders are trying to overcome, which will only bode well for the future of the kingdom. What barriers do you observe in terms of talent regulation, vendor lock-in, or other types of issues?
Okay, so basically, enablement is key. Okay, because there are rules in the kingdom that would really help the individuals and would set regulations obliging each and every enterprises to build these capabilities for the talent, whether it's on business point of view, whether it's on an emerging technology point of view. So this step is very important to really equip the talent with the needed skills and the needed knowledge so they really can focus on emerging technologies, on bringing new solutions to the table, and the design thinking approach, and definitely in designing new innovative solutions. So we can say that this is a huge step towards enablement and towards empowerment at the same time.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine, Tony. I just wanted to pinpoint one important factor, which is the empowerment and the enablement on the emerging technology topics as well. Because, you know, AI is very trendy. Everybody's talking about AI, but there's no tangible, you know, enablement on that. So this is where we would be collaborating together from a research point of view and from an enablement point of view to really equip them with the needed skill.
Yeah, our research shows that there are many, many pilots in the market, but the pilots that have moved into production have very little to do with cost effectiveness, and most have to do with prediction and personalization and helping organizations think through challenging problems versus this efficiency, which is a perfect solution in that market where efficiency is not the mindset largely. When you think about the, you know, the data sovereignty challenges or regulations in those particular areas and the hybrid models that have to be implemented, it's a very nuanced solution because they want the complete scale without surrendering sovereignty. And that is one of the most fascinating parts of their operating models that they're developing right now, whether it's just tech or services combined. Those are some of the challenges that, you know, organizations looking at there. In fact, it's fascinating when you look at the LEAP conference we were at earlier this year together. You saw not just the tech vendors there, but you saw all the service providers there. And that just speaks to the amount of interest in servicing the area from a service provider perspective. But the questions we get from the enterprise leaders are a lot about how do we navigate these choices? I don't want lock-in. How do we not just adopt an efficiency mindset, but try to adopt an effectiveness mindset? Very different perspective, for sure, in that particular region as compared to the rest of the world. Let's talk about how buyers, Amina, are thinking about emerging technology. What are you seeing in the market?
I would say, Tony, that what we are seeing is that organizations in the region are moving from just exploring new technologies to actually experimenting and scaling them. So let's take AI as an example. It's the big focus nowadays. It's not only to boost the productivity, but it's also to support the sovereign data strategies, just like you said. And it would be to deliver personalized services to citizens. Talking about cloud adoption, for instance, it's picking up speed too. So especially whenever we're talking about hybrid government clouds that would really address data